Thanks for listening to this Red Sox broadcast. For more Sox coverage and analysis across all of baseball, check out the Baseball Isn't Boring podcast with me, Rob Bradford. Follow Baseball Isn't Boring on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
This is Red Sox Review, and it starts right now. Here's your host, Joe Weil.
A dud to close out the homestand, which ends up being a 2-6 homestand for the Sox if you include the suspended game that got completed on Monday. Red Sox fall 2-0 tonight against the Toronto Blue Jays, and after feeling some optimism about the Sox after the last 2 days when Boston was able to pick up two games in the wild card standings, they lose tonight, so now they're 3.5 games back of Minnesota for that third wild card spot. Joe Weil with you here on Red Sox Review. Thanks for joining us here at Fenway Park as we take you up to 11 p.m. here on Red Sox Review. Sox fall to 69-65 with the loss tonight. Out in Francis, he was just phenomenal. 7 innings pitched, 1 hit, no runs for Toronto, and he strikes out 5 Red Sox batters. And Cutter Crawford, he was pretty good tonight for Boston, but the bats weren't there, and that's in part because of what they're dealing with in terms of the injury front. David Hamilton hitting the 10-day injured list prior to today's game, and you know he's been a very useful player for the Sox this year. He's had a great rookie season, but now he hits the 10-day IL with that left index finger fracture. And of course, for the third straight night, the team was without Rafael Devers, who's resting those sore shoulders. Alex Cora saying he will be back in the lineup tomorrow as a designated hitter. But the Sox got away with it the last two nights. They couldn't tonight, and now they're in a spot 3.5 out with 28 to go, and taking on a Tigers team that a couple weeks back looked like it would be an easy series. But now Detroit is above 500. They did lose today against the Angels, but they'll have Scooble going on Saturday, and we'll see how the Sox ultimately fare against the Tigers, and then following that against the Mets, as they will head to Detroit and New York for this upcoming road trip. Jacob Lassner back at WEI again. Joe Weil with you here at Fenway Park. Here's the number to call in after tonight's loss, 617-779-7937. Again, 617-779-7937. Tell us how you're feeling after this loss. Have you lost a little bit more confidence that this team can somehow find its way into the playoff picture? And if so, what worries you the most? Again, 617-779-7937. But let's now hear from Red Sox manager Alex Cora and what he has to say after this 2-0 loss.
It's been tough for a while now. Good fastball, good breaking ball, throws a lot of strikes. He elevates and he has 20 inches of vertical, and it's tough to get on top of him, and he's in his zone, so you got to give him credit. He threw a lot of strikes. Vila was down, but I think as far as like execution of the pitches was great. Vladdy hit the ball, whatever, you know, we almost made the play, and then Clement got a pitch close to him, got to it, but overall a solid one. He did an outstanding job. We brought him in with men on to get a lefty out, did a good job. Then, we have Vladdy and then lefties, you know, and he's not here just to hang out. He's here to contribute, you know. For the people that think this is just kind of like for a guy to play 20 years straight in the big leagues, no. We believe that he can get people out, and he did an amazing job.
What happened on that play in the first inning? Ball drop in the center.
He lost it in the pilot.
Gasper.
No, Jaron. Oh. Jaron didn't see it.
It seemed like he froze as soon as it hit him.
Yeah, he lost it. Yeah. Yeah, we're in the fall now, so it's a little bit different.
What did you see from the offense over the course of the last game?
Good pitching. We saw good pitching against us, so we'll be ready. The big boy didn't play 3 days, so we'll get him tomorrow and we'll get going. Yeah, I mean, his stuff has been the same for like 7 years, you know, 88, but spins it and, you know, he'll throw it in the zone. He'll make you, you know, look away as a lefty, and then he has that good fastball. So, I think it was a good one for him, the first one, you know, close game and a first two outs to get his feet wet, you know, if he needed experience, you know, and we'll use it the right way. But I do believe he's going to contribute.
Is the goal to build him up further in terms of, you know, how?
No, we'll use him in every, I mean, if it's two innings or open or, you know, get lefties out, you know, all of the above, you know, he's ready to do that.
With Crawford, how precise was his cutter today? Like, how impressive was
it? I mean, from the side, it looked like it was really good. I didn't see too many good swings against it. You know, I think they did a good job mixing up his pitches.
Yeah, to see the starts that he had gotten today, you mentioned, you know, kind of the lighting, it looks like fall. Do you sense that you're kind of getting to a different part of the schedule with, you know, where it's going to be a little bit more pitching, but, you know, where...
It felt today. It played big. So, you know, that's something that we'll welcome, you know. There were some balls that probably yesterday at 85 degrees, you know, probably hit off the wall, right? Probably three of us, you know. The ball Vladdy hit probably in the summer, you know, when it's hotter, it's a home run. So it's going to change, you know. And one thing for sure, we got to keep pitching. And I think we're turning a corner.
Just how do you view this series for you?
I thought it was a good one. You know, I mean, you know, it's, you know, we lost three, whatever, but we pitched well. We did a lot of good things, you know, and we're still in the hunt. We're good. Thank you.
After the Blue Jays end up taking down the Sox 2-0 in tonight's ballgame, we're going to take you up to 11 p.m. tonight here on Red Sox Review. So we want to hear from you. 617-779-7937, the number to chime in. You can also text us at 37937 as well. We want to get your feelings after the Sox now fold 3.5 games back of the Minnesota Twins for the third wild card spot. Again, still 28 games left to go, but the home schedule in August comes to an end, and the Sox now overall this year at Fenway Park 31-38 this season. We'll take a break, come back with more Red Sox Review right after this on WEEI.
This is Red Sox Review on WEEI.
All right, back here at Fenway Park, Red Sox fall 2-0 against the Toronto Blue Jays. 617-779-7937, the number to call in here for Red Sox Review, as Boston only registers two hits tonight. Not a single runner gets into scoring position. That pretty much tells the full story for you, for the team, as they end the homestand 2-6 if you include the suspended game that got completed on Monday. They got swept by the D-backs. Of course, five games in this series. They dropped three of them, and now they're 3.5 out of the third wild card spot held by the Minnesota Twins. Jacob Lasser back at WEI again. Joe Weil with you here at Fenway, and we will get to the phones for the first time tonight. We will start it off with Paul in Westfield. What's going on, Paul?
Well, Joe, this one is a five-game series. They're never going to be duplicated. And Cora's right. You know, two out of three to make their pitching shut us down. Last night, our pitching shut them down. Then we had to. We can hit everything out of the park, and then nobody can. Everyone playing wicked defense. But just imagine if I said to you, this five-game series, we're bringing a player from Toronto as catcher with one out. He's going to hit and then catch. Never been done. I heard Rich Hill came up at 42 after two innings in the minors and threw for an inning and two-thirds and gave up no hits. And I heard tonight a Wiesel or a Wizzle runs and commits, almost runs into Rafi, dives and catches the ball, whips it to second. We almost got a triple play. What's going on here? This is like cats and dogs sleeping in the streets. But the best news, did you say we are done with the home Holocaust stand? We're going on the road for 3.5 behind. What could go wrong? Because we're great on the road.
Yeah, no, Paul, I appreciate it. Thanks for the call there. I mean, a lot of bizarre stuff. I will say the Danny Jansen, I mean, I'm surprised we're still talking about the Danny Jansen game. I thought we got past that once it happened, and especially what a downer that game ended up being. But, yeah, I mean, a bizarre series, obviously, because you had the suspended game that you completed, but just a dud to close it out. And, you know, I think when you looked at the lineup coming into today's game, you looked at Mickey Casper hitting second. You had Nick Sogard coming back up, and that means no Devers. David Hamilton not in the starting lineup either. Not to say that you thought, okay, we're definitely going to lose the game because the Sox back-to-back nights were able to win without Devers in the lineup, but when you take another key guy out, it becomes a lot more difficult. And I think when you looked at who was in the lineup, you read the nine, and then you saw who was on the mound in Bowden Francis, who, despite the overall numbers, I mean, if you're just, you know, looking at ESPN.com or whatever, and you say, okay, he's got a 7-3 record, 4.02 ERA. The numbers overall don't stand out, but then if you're actually focusing on how he'd been pitching as of late, you realize, okay, this guy's been something special as of late. The fact that he came into today's game with just two runs allowed over 22 innings pitched, and now he tosses seven shutout innings tonight of just one-hit baseball, and it was a bloop single by Nick Sogard. That was the lone hit. Yeah, the team was in some trouble, and they end up falling tonight, and this is where, you know, again, it just, they have some ground to make up. I mean, we bring up the Fangraphs playoff odds and all that stuff, and by the way, if you want to grab Paul's line, 617-779-7937, the number to call in. We talk about like the playoff odds for this team, and it was at 24%, and, you know, okay, so they, you know, basically a one in four chance. But to ultimately get there, you have to win, and you could say parts of the season, okay, injuries play a role, but, you know, at this stage in the game, you just have to rack up the W's. And Will and Lou hit on it right before they ducked out, but, you know, you think about what it'll take to make the playoffs, and you think about, okay, 88 wins is a pretty conservative estimate of where, you know, you probably have to be to make the postseason. And to get to that point, you know, again, the Sox have to really start to rack up some W's. They can't fall in, especially in series against teams that are below 500. You know, and they've done a good job for the most part this year in taking care of business against bad teams, but now they're taking on a Tigers team that we all thought for a couple weeks, okay, that's where the schedule's truly going to ease up. Well, they're playing solid baseball now. They lost today, but again, they're above 500. The Mets are one of those frisky teams that has been hovering around a playoff spot for quite a time. Then you have the White Sox, who just are in a completely different they're in a completely different stratosphere of suck this year. So that series, you know, if you don't get 2 out of 3 in that series, I mean, this team has absolutely no chance of making the playoffs. Again, 617-779-7937. Let's go to Mike in Connecticut. What's going on, Mike?
Hey, what's going on, Joe? Are the Red Sox on the plane already? Because it looked like they just wanted to swing at the first pitch and get the game over with. What a terrible performance tonight, Joe. I know the guys have been pitching good, but please, it was just putrid. And you know, Joe, there is no, we could talk to 4 a.m. There is no way that you would let Guerrero beat you there with 2 outs. He is never supposed to be pitched there, too. You know, Joe, between Breslow, he had a terrible year. He got rid of one of the best pitchers in baseball who said for 3 months.
Mike, I want you to finish your point after this, but let me, I'm asking you this question.
Okay.
Did you think when they made that trade and they traded away Chris Sale, you're telling me that you thought the Red Sox made a mistake then and there?
Joe, on my father's, it was the worst thing ever, Joe. Let's just break it down for a minute. The guy said for 3 months, it's the healthiest he's been in 5-6 years. He's in a contract year, Joe. Of course he wants to pitch to get the money. That's what it's all about.
Despite all the injuries, despite all this stuff,
yes,
he truly believed.
He deserved, Joe. They got nothing for him. They got a guy that they can't even bring up to play over Nick Sogard. That's how bad he is. And they still paid him, Joe. It's not like they saved $20 million. This is going to go down. Breslow has been terrible, Joe. O'Neill can't hit right-hand pitching.
Let's go over, Mike, let's go over what they got to, or what they traded away to get Tyler O'Neill. I mean, you're telling me that wasn't a good trade?
Joe, it's
Nick
an average
Robertson,
trade.
Victor guy, Santos.
Joe, he's a platoon player. Let me ask you something. He's not the reason. Joe, the bottom line is they stink at home. There's no getting around it, and they have too many platoon players. So that is, but you really don't think that Sale trade is a disaster now. If Sale's on this team, they're in the playoffs.
If he does the exact same thing that he is doing with Atlanta, I would agree with that point. But who's to say that everything would be the exact same if he was still here, Mike?
You have to admit that there's way better teams in the National League than there are in the American League. Come on.
Maybe this year, but even then, I don't know. No, but see, even this year, like, there's no team that has a .600 winning percentage. Last time that ever happened was in 2013. Now you look at the American League. Okay, you have the Yankees, you have the Orioles. I think, Mike, you're right. I think the National League has been better this year, but it's not like either league has really been all that dominant.
Joe, let me ask you something. I appreciate you keeping me on. And you know, I love talking to you. You do a great job, and you're a Red Sox fan. And fortunately for you, you never had to suffer like I did all these years. Because they've won most of your life. You have to admit, Joe, that for what they got and still had to pay his contract, the trade is a disaster. Especially when even if... Just say he was 10-7, Joe, and pitching good. They could have got something still. It made no sense.
See, that's where Mike, that's where I disagree with you. And I appreciate the call, and I appreciate the kind words there. And if you want to grab Mike's line, 617-779-7937. To say the trade didn't make sense, that doesn't make sense to me. The trade did make sense. Because of the way things had gone for Chris Sale here with the Sox since he signed that extension. And they ended up trading for a guy in Vaughn Grissom that they thought could stabilize that second base position, which they haven't had stability at since Dustin Pedroia. And it has been the worst case scenario for this team from both sides of the spectrum. Obviously, when Vaughn Grissom was here and playing, he wasn't productive, but he's been injured pretty much all season long, or most of the season. And now he's in Worcester and trying to get his swing back to where it was last year when he was raking in the minor leagues. I mean, he's hit so well in the minor leagues his entire career. And maybe that doesn't always translate to the big leagues, but I'm not willing to give up on him quite yet. But obviously what makes this tough is the Chris Sale side of it and how good he has been for Atlanta. And I guess when you made the trade, you know that this could have possibly happened. Not the Vaughn Grissom part, but the Chris Sale part of it, where he ultimately refound his old form. And, you know, we saw him at the beginning of last year. Like, he looked so good until he got hurt, right? And he thought, okay, maybe the Chris Sale is back. But with the way things ultimately ended last year, I can't sit here and say, how did Craig Breslow make that trade? I can't. And I don't think you can, if you're listening out there, you know, wherever you are, can feel that exact same thing. There was logic behind the trade. It just has blown up in the way that it has been the worst case scenario for this team from both sides of the spectrum. And yes, they could use Chris Sale right now because they could have used that extra starter. And we've talked about it so many times on this show about pitchers, especially the starters that are, you know, they've blown past their previous career highs. Cutter Crawford's one of those guys, and actually, I thought he was pretty good tonight. You know, he gets hurt by the double by Brian Servin, in which Jarren Duran loses it in the sky, and then Vladimir Guerrero hits the double that brings him in, but he wouldn't have gotten on base if Jarren Duran just caught that ball. And he gives up one more run in the sixth inning, but otherwise, he was pretty good. And I actually think he's been sneaky pretty solid now over his last four starts. And, you know, I was talking about it in the pregame, and now you include this start. He's allowed just one homer over his last four outings. But, yes, they could have used Chris Sale. Of course they could have used the version that the Braves are getting of Chris Sale for now. But that's the way the cookie crumbled this year. And now I, the question, I don't, you, I think you can't even worry about that part of it. What you can worry about is if Vaughn Grissom actually becomes the productive second baseman that the Red Sox hope for. If he's not, this is the interesting part of it, they do have another guy that has, you know, grown my intrigue as the season has gone on, in Christian Campbell, who has hit everywhere he's been, and now he's been at three different levels this season. So maybe they end up stabilizing that second base spot in another way moving forward. And, you know, on top of that, David Hamilton's been really solid for this team this year when he's played out there at second base. And it hurt them that they didn't have him in the lineup today. So, I mean, this was one of those nights, again, where you looked at the lineup and you think, okay, this is actually a true uphill battle where you have Mickey Gasper hitting second, and it is a great story. And, you know, it is fun, the background to it, the fact that he was in the Yankee system for so long and finally makes it to the major leagues with the Sox. He started this year in Double-A. And then the Nick Sogard story as well. But, you know, listen, I love it as a baseball fan. I love it as a guy that follows this team. But at the same time, you want your established guys in the lineup when you're trying to ultimately find your way back into the actual playoff picture. And the Sox are now 3.5 out. 2-0 the final. Toronto a winner over the Red Sox. We will get to more in Red Sox Review coming up after this break. But let's go to Jacob Lasner with what's trending here on WEI.
Everybody up at Fenway, the 0-1. Swinging a ground ball to short that should end the game. Gobbled up there, throw to first, in time, ball game over, and the Blue Jays, dominant pitching, wins this game 2-0. Jays come to Fenway and take 3 of 5 in this marathon series. The offense just did not get anything going at all tonight.
Well, only two good things really came out of tonight from the Red Sox perspective. One, we got to see Rich Hill, 44 years young, toss an inning in the third scoreless tonight. He faced four batters. He retired all of them. And then the other is that I got a 2004 ALCS Dave Roberts bobblehead commemorating the clutch steal in Game 4 against the Yankees. Otherwise, pretty listless night here at Fenway Park. Sox ball 2-0 against the Toronto Blue Jays. So coming into or now out of this game, the team 3.5 out of the third wild card spot with 28 games to go, and the team is now about to head to Detroit, and then they'll play the Mets on the road before they come back home to take on the White Sox. And we've talked about this stretch for a long time now when looking at the schedule and where it started to get a little bit easier again after having to go to Baltimore, then to Houston. And, you know, it's interesting in looking at that tough stretch before now facing teams that are either hovering around 500 or slightly above it or below it, that they went on that road trip and they took 4 of 7. They split that four-game set against Baltimore and then took 2 out of 3 against Houston. And it was those last two games that they won. So you hope that the momentum coming off that series would ultimately translate to playing well here at Fenway against a good Diamondbacks team that has really come on, especially since the All-Star break. But then they could take care of business against Toronto. And that didn't really happen. It looked good back-to-back nights coming into tonight, but because you lose this game, you end up losing 3 out of 5 with the suspended game on Monday, and then, of course, they got swept against Arizona. And now you're now heading on the road after ultimately a 2-6 homestand. And the home stuff, you know, there really are. I know, again, especially at a moment like this, where the wild card spot feels more out of grasp yet again. I mean, you ride the roller coaster up and down of feeling optimistic and then not so, and then you feel optimistic again. But, you know, I think with all the positives to take out of this season, Jarren Duran turning into a superstar, and all these rookies contributing in so many different ways, the Willier Abreus of the world, the Sadon Rafaels and David Hamilton, and it sticks, he's on the 10-day IL now, you know, with this most recent injury. But what is one of the most disappointing things about this season, for whatever reason, because I know Alex Cora gets asked about it so many times, and doesn't quite come up with an answer for it because he says, I don't think it's really anything about the ballpark as to why we haven't played well at home. But now they're 31-38 at Fenway, and that ends up being one of the big differentiators as to why they won't make it to the postseason. Because statistically, I mean, and just in terms of the history of baseball, they would be in very rare company if they actually made it to the postseason with a losing record at home. And I say disappointing because that was one of those spoken out loud goals by Alex Cora right in that first road trip, you know, right as they were about to complete it, talking about, hey, we need to play better at home. We need to kind of change how we have been performing as of late, and or as of late at Fenway Park. And again, they struggle with it tonight. They've struggled with it this season, 31-38. 617-779-7937. Again, 617-779-7937. Let's go back to Mike in the car. Let's go back to the phones, and we speak next to Mike in the car. What's going on, Mike?
Hey, what's going on, man? Hey, real quick, first off, so I'm out here. I drive Uber every night, so I listen to a lot of the post game and the Red Sox review. You guys all do a really good job breaking down the season. So yeah, I just want to say that. You guys do a really good job.
Appreciate it, Mike.
So two things. One real quick is, you know, I think the guy who called on Chris Sale, I think he called a couple times this week, or at least you've had a couple calls this week.
Yeah, Mike from Connecticut, he's a regular.
Yeah, anybody who's saying that they saw Chris Sale doing what he's doing down in Atlanta this year, it's just revisionist history. Nobody was mad about that trade when it happened. You know, some of us that are a little bit older remember the bad old days before 2004. You know, a little bit of cynicism. We were like, yeah, watch, now he's going to blow up because he's been traded. But it was mostly tongue-in-cheek, and no one really thought he was going to do what he's doing down there. Anybody who says that they did is just straight up lying. But, you know, my overall point here is this has been a fun team all year to watch. It's been entertaining. But for the, you know, third, fourth year in a row, the team has done the same thing. They've gone into the season with a subpar pitching rotation and given Alex Cora very little to work with. You know, I know the offense has been scuffling of late, and I have my opinions about Devers, but that's going to be a longer phone call for another night. But they haven't done enough to give Cora pieces to have decent and adequate pitching. The worst thing that MLB has done is adding these second and third wildcard spots. This team would be irrelevant right now if not for the fact there was three wildcards. And you could say, yeah, that's great for the fans because, you know, they still care about what the team's doing in late August when otherwise they would have been out of here. But the problem is it allows management and ownership of these teams to do less, spend less, and still call themselves a competitive potential playoff team.
Yeah, Mike, and I think you hit it on the head there. And I appreciate you backing me up on the Chris Sale thing because I think you're right. It's revisionist history to be I think what Mike in Connecticut said that about all of that, and I love Mike from Connecticut, but I think the part of it that I disagree with the most is saying that the logic behind that trade was flawed. I mean, I think it made complete sense when it happened. And let's be honest. I mean, the way things went for him post-2018, we were all frustrated with Chris Sale. And we're all going to remember what happened in 2018 and even his first year with the Sox when he was also one of the best pitchers in baseball. But it had run its course, and they traded for a guy that had some promise.
Dombrowski signed him, everybody said that that was a bad signing because of the fact that he had an injury history, because he had a slight frame. Nobody saw him at the time making it to the end of the contract staying healthy, and that ended up coming to pass. So, yeah, it was definitely a situation where the guy needed a change of scenery. You know, I'll go into the Wayback Machine. It's like I'll equate it to Roger Clemens. When Dan Duquette said he was on the twilight or the downside of his career, and then, you know, he left and had a renaissance, whether it was chemically induced or not, whatever. The point is, had Duquette not made those comments and Clemens finished out his career here in Boston, there was a degree of complacency that set in, and he would have never had that amazing second half of his career that, you know, he should be a Hall of Famer, which, again, another conversation, but the point remains that, you know, there is something to be said for change of scenery, and I think that's what Chris Sale ultimately needed to do what he's doing. he would not have done what he's doing now had he stayed in Boston.
Yeah, and Mike, and I appreciate the call. And if you want to grab Mike's line, 617-779-7937. So we had two Mikes on the complete opposite side of the spectrum as it's related to the Chris Sale and you know, again, it's the worst. What has happened with that trade is just the worst case scenario outcome from both sides of it. I'm sure there are some Sox fans out there that are rooting for Chris Sale. And I think, you know, again, we want to see him do well, you know, because he brought this organization a World Series title. He got the final out for it. He was so good that year. He was great in 2017 as well. But I just think that it is a little disingenuous to say that you thought the trade was dumb when all of us were frustrated with how it was going with him here. And you had a reason to be frustrated. I remember when he came back to Fenway, I think it was like a little shocking to that he got some cheers, but it was a tepid response compared to what we thought it could be. And, you know, I think it reflected the way things had gone with him specifically, you know, since 2018. So the logic behind it was sound. It just has worked out very poorly right now because of all the injuries that, you know, the hamstring stuff that Vaughn Grissom has had to deal with, and, you know, the way he's looked at the plate this year, and, you know, the fact that he hasn't been the guy that has stabilized that second base spot. I don't think you can give up on him quite yet. But now the interesting thing with Vaughn Grissom, and this is what I'm most intrigued by right now, is you have this other kid in the minors in Christian Campbell who is lighting it up to the point that his teammates are calling him Barry Bonds because he's been so good at the plate. But I just think to sit here and say, how could they have made that trade? I think you're being disingenuous. But I the discussion is fun regardless. Let's go back to the phones. Let's go to Ted in Kenmore. What's going on, Ted?
Hey, on my way home from the game, I'm not even going to get into the Chris Sale thing. Come on. I mean, that's not even an argument. But we are three games out of first place, and your manager has Mickey Gasper batting second tonight.
Oh, great.
Everyone loved the manager at the beginning of the year, but he does this every single year for the last really 3 years.
Everybody. Wait.
You say every single year.
What about 2018?
I say after 2018, he was still banging the trash can.
Come on now.
I think you and I could have coached the 2018 team, okay?
Really? That was a managerial masterpiece in 2018 from Cora. He pushed the right button every time.
What has he done since? Why do we have to keep saying, "Oh, it's the team's fault. They're not giving them the players." The last 3 or 4 years, they end up in last place because the second half of the season, they stink.
Let me extend a hand out to you here, Ted. I'll say this.
Isn't this guy a defensive wizard? Why do we end up in last defensively every year?
Ted, I disagree with you there. If you want me to extend a hand out to you and say I would concede something about what the decisions made tonight, I'll say that they probably should have pitched around Vladimir Guerrero Jr. And I actually thought Mike in Connecticut bringing that up, that was a smart point, because, and for those who missed it, by the way, if you missed it, Sox lost 2-0 tonight against Toronto. But you go back to the third inning, they had a runner on second because Duran couldn't, he lost one in the lights. They had a runner on second. They had a runner on third with two outs. You had a base open with Guerrero Jr. up at the plate, you know, and obviously Vladdy's been one of the best hitters in the sport since the All-Star break, and he ends up hitting a double to give the Blue Jays the lead at that point, and they end up only needing that run. That was a mistake. But, the greater picture part of the Alex Cora conversation, I think people just miss, because now they're on track now to miss the playoffs for the third straight year. And the one thing I will concede is that the more consecutive seasons you miss the playoffs, the harder it is to, you know, not to say keep up the image with the fan base, because everybody knows that he's a good manager. I guess Ted disagrees with that. But my point being is that at some point soon they're going to have to turn things around. But I just think with this roster, the fact that they have gotten to this point, there's only so many managers that could do that. And honestly, it might only be a handful. With this roster, with all the rookies, the way he's played matchups in a lot of games, I think you're taking it for granted a little bit, not realizing that of all the things about this team that you could say we're far off from getting championship level at, your coaching staff, and more specifically your manager, you're already there because he's done it before. And to say that 2018 wasn't, you know, a masterclass of managing from Alex Cora, that's where I could completely disagree. Because it seemed like so many times he pushed the right buttons. He was creative with the way that he managed the pitching staff in that run. And, of course, the way he utilized pinch hitters. You think about the Eduardo Nunez home run in game one. I mean, come on now. But, again, to extend an arm for tonight, that I will say they probably should have walked Vladdy in the third inning. But we're talking about a lot tonight, and we want to keep hearing from you. 617-779-7937, because we've been talking a lot about Chris Sale and the fact that he's pitched so well with the Braves, and we will continue to have that conversation because Brian in Portland, Maine wants to talk about Chris Sale. What's going on, Brian?
Hey, can you hear me?
Yes.
Hey, man, thank you. So I'm a longtime Red Sox fan, lived in another part of the country for years and years before returning to this area. And so I'm a new listener, but I love your show. Try to tune in when I can this season. So I guess I'm going to respectfully disagree on the caller that you had on a minute ago. And I think with you about it being revisionist history to think that the Sale trade was a dumb trade. So I'm a huge, huge Chris Sale fan. And I love what he's doing in Atlanta this year. And I will admit that when I kind of conceded the point, like so many bad things have happened and have been so long since he was able to contribute, like everybody, including himself, would have loved to have done. So I kind of conceded that point that, yeah, maybe Vaughn Grissom has a lot of upside. We certainly needed a second baseman since Pedroia has been gone. That's been a weakness. So but there was a part of me then, and it's screaming louder within me now, that I feel like the fan base and the team gave up on Sale. Because think about it, I just think it's a little bit silly to think that the change of scenery is what's causing him to pitch to a Cy Young level this year. That guy has always been an incredible competitor and an incredible pitcher. Look at all the bad luck from the broken wrist with the line drive or the pinky and the falling off the bike thing. I couldn't be happier for him. And I just think that the team gave up on him. I mean, how nice would it have been to have Sale pitching all year this year?
No, without a doubt. And Brian, I appreciate the kind words, and feel free to keep chiming in, because even if we disagree, I do love the back and forth with everybody that does call in. So feel free to continue to chime in. I'm glad you're back in the States. Where were you living?
That's my bad. I accidentally cut him off.
All good. All right. So anyway, we had Brian in Portland, Maine chime in about the Sale. We keep getting calls about this. So again, I want to keep this rolling. Feel free to keep chiming in. 617-779-7937. The number to call in if you want to chime in about tonight's game, if you want to talk about the Red Sox playoff race, or if you want to talk about the discussion we're having tonight about Chris Sale and the looking back now at that trade and the way it's played out. I think there's, again, it's just like there's two sides of the coin here as it's related to Chris Sale and this trade and kind of how it's all ended up shaking out. Because I'm sure you guys feel this way. Watching it, there's this mixed feeling of like, I'm glad he's happy, but like this kind of hurts at the same time. It's almost like an ex-girlfriend that you got, you know, you ended up separating with on pretty good grounds, but you know, you're happy for them, maybe that you knew it wasn't working right with you, but it works out with them, but at the same time it kind of hurts. Like, I think that the way this is all played out, It's just been, as I keep saying, it's like the worst case scenario has happened on both sides of the spectrum. So now we're having this feeling coming to the forefront. Now, I guess there, I think what I have maybe under, or maybe I haven't realized, because in listening to Brian and listening to Mike from Connecticut a little bit earlier, I guess there were people out there that thought, okay, the Red Sox are going to regret this at some point and that this was a bad trade from the get-go. I felt like the consensus was that, yeah, this has probably run its course. We can get our second baseman of the future in this deal, and we don't have to get our hopes up once again about Chris Sale holding up for a season when it doesn't ultimately work out, as was the case for Chris Sale from 2020 to 2023. I mean, it is remarkable. It was only 31 starts he made in that four-year span. He didn't pitch at all in 2020. 2021, 9 starts. 2022, he only made 2. He dealt with all those weird injuries. And then 2023, he was rolling, and then he had the shoulder issue. Ended up making 20 starts for this team, and Alex Cora pretty quickly said that he was going to be the opening day starter, and then he ends up getting traded. So, you know, I just have a tough time getting so upset about it when we all thought at the time of the trade that it actually made sense for this team. Sometimes teams make trades that don't make sense, and then you can get frustrated. And that makes more sense to me than one that the logic I thought was sound, even if you maybe thought the Sox were giving the Braves too much money in the deal, and it just really hasn't panned out. And that's the frustrating part of it. And I understand that. I mean, it is frustrating to see him pitch as well as he is with Atlanta. But, you know, again, I think at least I thought being so focused and upset about it was a little I thought that most people thought this way, but now I'm realizing that might not be the case. 617-779-7937. We'll hit one more call before we go to break here. Let's go to Wally in Fall River. He always brings the goods here on Red Sox Review. What's going on, Wally?
Yeah, what's up? Chris Sale, you can't really regret that. Like you said, he was very fragile here. He was always on a disabled list, and we gave him a ton of money, but we made other bad trades too. Like Bronson Arroyo for William Mopania. I don't think Bronson got traded to Cincinnati for that bum, and he never panned out here. We got stuck with Rusty Casillo. We gave him, what, $60 million. We don't know where he is now, probably selling used cars somewhere. But I feel no regrets. We had to do something.
Wait, Wally, I missed that joke. Sorry, what was the used car joke you just made?
Yeah. He's selling a Rusty Casillo along with Tim Anderson now. But it's just a chance you take. But he, like I said, he was very injury prone. That's like the Yankees with Stanton. They can't unload him. He gets hit every year. Nobody wants him. But as far as tonight's game, this kid, boy, he was what? Bob Gibson and Don Drysdale rolling together. But as far as Vladdy tonight, we weren't going to get any. You know, we didn't have many scoring opportunities. You have to score in order to win. But this kid came out of nowhere, you know, pitched a very good game. But I don't see us winning the wild card, Joe. We have to be realistic. It's too much to overcome right now.
Again, after a loss like this, Wally, and I appreciate the call as always from you, Wally. And we do have a little bit of time left on the show. So 617-779-7937. If you want to chime in here for Red Sox Review, Toronto beats Boston by a score of 2-0 tonight. So just check in our old buddy Fangraphs playoff odds. The Sox are at 19.7% in terms of making the playoffs. So they dropped down from 24 down to 20 tonight. And so, yeah, I'm not willing to give up quite yet because of the stretch that they have coming up, even though I've been talking about it's harder than it looked initially. I'm not willing to give up quite yet on this group. We'll see how the next week plays out. They're going to Detroit. They're going to play the Mets, and then they're going to be playing the White Sox. Let's see where they're at by that point. And also, we'll see how the Twins continue to play because they've been really, really slumping, and we've hit on it on our shows. They didn't add at the trade deadline. You know, they added one guy that they DFA'd in Trevor Rogers, who now I guess the Red Sox might have interest in. We'll see how that ultimately shakes out, but I don't know. I'm not willing to give up quite yet. We'll see how it plays out, and that's the fun of the show. And again, after every night, we get to have these types of conversations. It's fun. I love this Chris Sale discussion because again, with the way it's all shaken out, it is a fascinating talking point, even if it's painful at the same time. 617-779-7937. Again, Sox lose 2-0 against the Blue Jays. We'll come back. We'll wrap things up on Red Sox Review. Yeah, frustrating third inning for the Sox. First, a double in which Duran lost it in the lights, and then the Sox decide to pitch to Vladimir Guerrero Jr. with the base open, and he smacks a double to center field to give the Blue Jays a 1-0 lead. They end up winning it by a score of 2-0, and that highlight you heard, that is the highlight from tonight's Nissan Red Sox postgame show. Hurry in and save big on a new Nissan at the Nissan End of Summer Sales event. Shop your local Nissan store and NissanUSA.com today. And in what was the final summer home game here at Fenway Park, because we're about to get into September, obviously, and the Sox don't come back to Fenway Park until September 6th when they take on the White Sox, they only bang out two hits in this game. Two singles, they don't get anybody in runners, they don't get a single runner in scoring position in tonight's contest, and they end this homestand by going 2-6 if you include the suspended game on Monday. Joe Weil with you here on Red Sox Review. Jacob Lassner back at WEI. Before we go, we wanted to play some sound from Cutter Crawford. He had a chance to speak after his performance tonight, which was solid. 6 2/3 innings pitched and only two runs allowed. Here's what he had to say.
Quality, you know. I made some pitches when I need to. A couple missed locations there to Vlad and Ernie Clement with the runner on second, and they put good swings on them. But overall, I felt like it was definitely a step in the right direction, you know, pitching in the seventh and you know, just trying to compete and keep my team in the ballgame.
Specifically, was it, you know, how good did you feel about your command of the cutter tonight and your ability to just kind of execute to, you know, different quadrants?
Yeah, the cutter felt good tonight, and it seemed like they had troubles kind of seeing it. So, you know, if they're kind of having trouble seeing it, I'm going to throw it more. Obviously, serving, I think, you know, kind of got one down the right field line and everything. But overall, the cutter felt pretty good tonight.
Has it felt like the last, you know, cooler temperatures, all that, does it feel like the season is kind of like entering into a different moment, you know, where like where it's maybe not so much the same offensive game that it was in the middle of, you know, June, July, August?
I don't think the weather necessarily has to do with it. You know, it's just getting that time of the year. Baseball is a game of waves. You know, it's highs and lows on both the pitching and the hitting side. But I think that's just kind of where we're at right now with the offense. You know, they're competing, and you know, the pitching staffs, you know, we're doing everything we can to try to keep us in the ball game because we know the offense has carried us as well. You know, it's just kind of, you know, we're just not clicking at the you know, together.
How do you view these games that you guys played here? You guys got off to obviously a slow start, but seemed to get two wins and then sort of establish a series split here.
Yeah, obviously, you know, this homestand was definitely a little disappointing for us. We definitely want to try to win series. But, you know, I think everybody in this clubhouse, you know, still believes we got a chance. You know, there's nobody in this clubhouse that's throwing it in the towel. You know, we still got a month left. There's still plenty of baseball left, and we're looking to turn around.
And that's the thing about this Sox team is that every time it seems like they're done, they find a way to kind of climb back into it more. So, you know, this loss stinks tonight, and I think the part that hurts the most is you don't have Devers in the lineup because he was dealing with the sore shoulders. And then, you know, you don't have David Hamilton now because he's now on the 10-day injured list. He ended up getting placed on that today with a left index finger fracture that he sustained in last night's game. But this team's got some fight, and again, they're going to be playing the Tigers, the Mets, the White Sox, none of those teams world beaters this year, so we'll see how it all shakes out. And I'm excited to see it because I think, you know, they'll come back home, and I think they'll still be in the picture, so to speak, where we can kind of talk about still this team possibly jumping into the playoff picture. Obviously, we'll have to wait to see, but in the end, they do fall tonight by a score of 2-0. The good news, we got to see Rich Hill back on the mound, 44 years young, and it's amazing that MLB just put this out on their X account, how it started versus how it's going. You know, he pitched in 2005 for his debut. It was June 15th with the Cubs, and he struck out Carlos Delgado in his as his first strikeout, and that was when Delgado played that 1 year with the Marlins. So, I mean, this is going. Rich Hill makes you think about those times in your life. Back in 2005 when you were watching baseball, I'm 31 years old, so I think about, you know, myself as an 11-year-old watching him, you know, with the Cubs, that big looping curveball, and somehow still getting it done at age 44 because he ended up facing four batters and he retired all of them. So that's the positive out of tonight, but otherwise a tough night for the Sox. 2-0 the final against the Blue Jays. Want to thank Jacob Lassner. Great work back at WEI. I'm Joe Weil signing off from Fenway Park. Thank you for listening to Red Sox Review. We will have the Mass Mutual pregame show coming up at 5:40 tomorrow. I will have that for you. And then Will Fleming and Lou Merlone, they will be on the call for that series in Detroit. First pitch coming up at 6:40 in tomorrow night's game. Thanks for listening. Have a great night.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Knorr Sides and Bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Knorr Taste Combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit Knorr.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.